Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well met, fellow adventurers. You're once more with Sir Croakington. And we will be exploring the last of the clearable dungeons. Having in the previous episode got three maps to clearable dungeons in the eastern, southern and western quadrants of Tysa. We explored the first two in the eastern and southern parts, and now we're off to explore the last of them. Also, in the gap between the episodes, we went to Tiraro, and using some of the ATs that I've been building up for no particular reason. I probably could just cash them in at Tally's and get a small upgrade. And there's probably other things I could do with them. But, I mean, that would be the major one. Anyhow, now that Sir Croakington's melee rating is at 386, which is quite bleeding ridiculous for someone who hasn't had any packages bought for her, and was actually deliberately took an underpowered pre-made character as the starting point. Although admittedly, a lot of that power is from limited time items that most people won't be able to get. But they'll probably find something just as good if they wait around for a year or two for the next seasonal events. Because while they won't be able to get the Spruce Smasher, it's quite likely that either the Spruce Smasher and the Egg-Studded Vest, which are very ridiculously powerful limited time items, they'll probably be able to get something equally good in the next, it does seem like there's not going to be an Easter event this year. Although I'll wait till tomorrow, which is the actual Easter Sunday, which is, I think, pretty much the last day you can realistically announce an Easter event and have it, you know, be an Easter event. I mean, probably like Easter Monday, still Easter, but you might be able to push it off that far. But after that, it's not really an Easter event at all. It's not an Easter event when you can't. It's not Easter when you can't buy cream eggs, because that's what Easter means. As we all know, Jesus died so we could buy cream eggs, because they're just that nice, and for our sins. But honestly, God could have just said, no sins. Just got his big book of sins out and just went, there you are. All your sins are forbidden. I could do that because I'm God. And that's what God means, that you can do anything. And you don't need to go through some elaborate nine-dimensional chess scheme to do it. You could just do it. But anyhow. Yeah, in future seasonal events, maybe for Christmas, maybe for Easter, maybe Adventure Appreciation Month. I mean, we have had a couple of Valentine's events, and we did have Thanksgiving or Fourth? Yeah, we had a Thanksgiving thing, I think, and a 4th of July thing. But Christmas, Easter, and Adventure Appreciation Month. Oh, and Halloween is often some Halloween events. But either way, when those come round, there's quite likely to be some equally awesome gear that you can get. Anyhow, we are now at Shimmerpool Cave. And you know what? Actually, I've got way too much equipment on me. If I go into there, I'll be able to pick up equipment and we won't be able to pick up, which means I won't be able to sell it, which means I won't be able to get more money to be added to the pile to presumably be spent on residence upgrades, because that is by a wide margin the biggest money sink in the game. That and probably number two would be Zorlon's Wing of Arcania, which can cost 250,000 gold. Which is a lot, but you will eventually get that. You will eventually get that much gold just by doing the events and maybe some mild grind. Anyhow, time to sell some stuff. Right, now we're back to Shield Pool Cave and we're actually going to enter it this time. Enter the cave. You're standing just inside the mouth of Shimmerpool Cave. Ahead of you, a wide, watery tunnel meanders north into darkness. The sound of dripping water echoes through the surrounding gloom. Right, I'm on the south side of the cave. And we, directly after a little alcove we're in, we end up with a little rectangle to go round. Wide, ankle-deep puddles of water that shimmer unnaturally in the glow of your invading light greet your every step as you explore this dank, gloomy cave lair. Alright, and to describe the map, it looks a little bit cracked. Cracked, sort of light blue, and it looks cracked. There's a little bit of variation in how the... In how the squares on the map look. Alright, okay, I've got past the first little circle. On to the next one. I can go west. Or I can go north. I'm going to go west now. Suddenly, without warning, a large water elemental rises silently out of the deep puddle on your right. You instinctively fall back and draw yourself into combat-ready stance. As the fierce elemental, its form, vaguely humanoid, surges at you and attacks. Alright, let's attack the large water elemental. The elemental surges forward and attacks. You're enveloped by the foe's deadly watery attack. I'm an amphibian. I don't care! So, Croakington's an amphibian. As far as you know, I'm a regular human. And slain. 5 XP. The slain water elemental is little more than a rippling puddle of shimmering water at your feet. Wonder how X water elementals taste. After taking a few moments to gather your bearings and check over your gear, you warily exhume your exploration of the cave. It's another larger water elemental. Its form is vaguely humanoid, but not for long. Soon its form is going to be vaguely puddle-shaped, because that's what it will be. Surges forward and attacks. Keep going. It is slain for another 5 XP. The slain water elemental is now little more than a whippling puddle of shimmering water at your feet. After taking a few moments to gather your bearings and check over your gear, you rarely were doing your exploration of the cave. Okay, making my way north. Without warning, a thin water elemental rises out of the deep puddle on your left. You instinctively fall back and draw yourself into a combat-ready stance as the fierce elemental, its form vaguely humanoid, surges at you and attacks. It's a thin water elemental. Well, that just makes it easier for me to chop all the way through. Surges forward and attacks, and is slain for 4 XP. The slain water elemental is now little more than a rippling puddle of shimmering water at your feet. After taking a few moments to gather your bearings and check over your gear, you warily resume your exploration of the cave. Now, I assume since it's a water elemental, this is probably going to be pretty much pure water. Because that's probably... I think it is with elementals, otherwise it'd be a muck elemental or mud elemental. Although though you don't really get untraditional elementals in this game. You don't get something like a slime elemental or an arsenic elemental or an Einsteinium elemental, because that would be weird. An Einsteinium elemental, it wouldn't be very dangerous at all, because Einsteinium is incredibly unstable and would last 1 nanosecond. Though I definitely wouldn't like to fight a cesium elemental, because it would just blow you up. Take a few moments to gather your bearings, check out of your gear. You will resume your exploration of the cave. Okay, and then, oh, it's a massive water elemental. Fight it like all the others, but this one's probably got a bit tougher. Of course, it's still a 3+, but maybe, theoretically, you could bump into it and it wouldn't be a 3+. Smash your wallops your foe. And it is slain. 5 XP. The slain water elemental is now little more than a rippling puddle of shimmering water at your feet. After taking a few moments to gather your bearings and check over your gear, you warily resume your exploration of the cave. Okay, now I've met back up with where I diverged. Alright, in the northeast. Alright, north of the thin water elemental. Slain, 4 XP. Okay, north of where I turned west, there's a little circle. The bloated, half-floating remains of a man lie face down, knee-deep tunnel at the edge of this section of the cave tunnel. This unfortunate soul seemed to have met his end in the dark, watery confines of Shimmerpool Cave. How this happened? We don't know, but we're still going to search the body. A quick examination of the body turns up the following, just some generic loot, some of it pretty good. No, take what you want before leaving your location. Once you move, this treasure will vanish. Yep, that's what normally happens. Last, having concluded your search, you once again set off along the watery passage. Okay, making my way north, around the circle. Did that man just change into a woman? I mean, usually that's a bigger deal. Another massive water elemental. Quick combat for 5 XP. The bloated, half-floating remains of a woman lie face down, knee-deep puddle at the edge of this section of the cave tunnel. This unfortunate soul seems to have met her end in the dark, watery confines of Shimmerpool Cave. Search the body. A quick examination of the body turns up the following. It's just some generic loot. Pick it now or it will disappear. Okay, I've got through this section. All the passages have come together again. Okay, and then north one. A shimmering water elemental is going to quick combat that for 6 XP. And then the passage splits into two, one going east, one going west. I'll start with the one that goes west. Large water elemental, just going to quick combat that. Alright, and then going east. You're standing in an oddly shaped chamber at the end of the cave passage. A wide, knee-deep puddle of glittering water fills nearly the entirety of this space. Now and again, a series of gentle ripples passes over the pool's shimmering surface. Numerous arcane symbols are carved into the cave floor or on the edge of the pool. Well, let's just approach the pool. Well, let's just... Whatever's going to happen here, we'll just see what it is. Suddenly, the surface of the pool begins to bubble furiously. A split second later, a massive, shimmering water elemental rises up out of its watery lair. The mighty elemental, its form vaguely humanoid. Really vaguely humanoid? I don't care about vaguely humanoid elementals. I want my elementals to look like, well, anything else, really. Remains in place in the centre of the pool. its faceless head turned in your direction. So I've got three options. I can stay where I am, attack the elemental, or just step away from the edge pool. What happens if I stay where I am? You remain with your eyes fixed on the towering elemental. Suddenly, the pool weaves wildly as the towering water elemental grows even larger. The mighty elemental, its form vaguely humanoid, remains in place in the centre of the pool. His face, his head turned to your place. Well, that's growing larger. That means I get more XP for fighting it. Let's stay where I am again. You remain with your eyes fixed on the towering elemental. The surface of the pool weaves mildly as the towering water elemental grows even larger. All right, stay where I am. Fixed on. It grows even larger. Okay, how big can I make it? It's not really saying how big it is. Stay where I am. Grows even larger. Stay where I am. Grows even larger. Grows even larger. Right, I'm going to do it 10 times. 10 more times. One. The surface of the pool weaves wildly, but the towering water elemental grows no larger. Okay. It's got as big as it's going to get. Yeah, unless it gets to the ocean. And then we're all screwed. Instead, the mighty being, its faceless head turned in your direction, surges forward and attacks. It's an elemental guardian. Begin combat. Alright, how large is it? It would be nice if it told me how big it was. Surges forward and attacks. Okay, keep going. It's still a 3+. Apparently it didn't get big enough. Should have took more time to grow even bigger. Maybe if it grew 500-600 feet tall, it wouldn't be a 3+. Maybe. But anyway, down it goes. It is slain. 26 XP. With the deafening war, rushing war. Rushing water. It says waster here, but I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be water. The massive elemental sinks swiftly beneath the shimmering surface of the pool. The ancient guardian of this mystical place is no more. You're standing in an oddly shaped chamber at the edge of the cave passage. A wide, knee-deep puddle of shimmering water fills near the entirety of the space. Now and again, a series of gentle ripples passes over the pool's shimmering surface. Numerous arcane symbols are carved into the cave floor around the edge of the pool. Thankfully, there is no further sign of the fearsome water elemental, but no doubt it will reform itself, because this is a clearable dungeon and those things always reset. So let's approach the pool. Standing at the edge of the water, you can see what appears to be a small stone box resting at the bottom of the shimmering pool, quite near its centre. Well, box? A box? Maybe it has stuff in it! Attempt to retrieve the stone box. You carefully consider how you attempt to retrieve the stone box. So I can use telekinesis, elementalism, or just wade into the pool and try to retrieve the box. Which Sir Croakington, being an amphibian right now, and for the indeterminate future, would be very good at. I'm going to wade into the pool and retrieve the box. You wade into the knee-deep pool and draws within just a few feet of stone box when the shimmering water around you suddenly begins to churn and bubble. A strange sensation immediately comes over you, leaving you momentarily dazed. Feeling as if you're about to lose consciousness, you promptly retreat to the edge of the pool. The issue of your feet are once again planted on dry stone, your nerving sense of disorientation abates. And some Neville reserve was drained, just one though. Okay, let's retrieve the stone box. What if? Oh no. All my Neville reserve has been drained. Waiting to pull and retrieve the box. Okay. I can't get it. Decide against trying to retrieve it. Step away from the portal. Okay. Okay, I've got to get my... Suddenly, without warning, a raging water elemental rises out of the deep puddle on your right. You instinctively fall back and draw yourself into a combat-ready stance. As the fierce elemental, its form vaguely humanoid, surges at you and attacks. It's a raging water elemental. The elemental surges forward and attacks. You're enveloped by the by your foe's deadly watery attack. It is slain. 5 XP. The slain water elemental is little more than a whipping puddle of shimmery water at your feet. It's taking a few moments to get your bearings to cover your gear. Once again, you warily resume your exploration of the cave. Okay, I think that was just a random fight. It's just I thought it was a new one. Okay, I'm going to have to make my way out of here. Because it's not going to reset until... And we store my Nether Reserve. Then I can get the... Then I can get the box. Alright, going to Iron Guard, which is nearby. Not going to... Just going to auto-heal here. Not going to have a look around. That'll be later. That'll probably be what I'll do after Shimmerpool Cave. Okay, now that my Neville Reserve is restored, I'm going to make my way vaguely north, ignoring all the pastures. There's a massive water elemental. Just quick combat that for 5 XP. Suddenly, an unnerving quiet swiftly falls over Shimmerpool Cave. Success! You successfully cleared Shimmerpool Cave. It will reset eventually. There may be more to do. I know I've got a box to get. 32 experience to general. In a forgotten corner of the cave, you discover a stone chest. Presumably this is a different chest than the one I was trying to get. The massive ornate box is engraved with all manner of strange symbols. Much to your surprise, however, the chest isn't locked. You cautiously lift the weighty stone lid and find that the deep box is filled with all sorts of objects and valuables. Right, there's some loot. Just take all the good stuff. Oh, and 8 gold tokens. After making certain you haven't overlooked anything, you prepare to set off on your way. Alright, still making my way north. Don't have to worry about random combats because they're all gone. Right, here's the box. Approach the pool. Attempt to retrieve the stone box. Okay. Wading into the box won't work because the water is angry. Use elementalism. It failed. Despite a fine effort, your attempt to retrieve the stone box has failed. You're about to contemplate your next move when the shimmery water in the pool begins to churn violently. Moments later, when the water is again still, you start to discover there is no longer any sign of the sunken box. Approach the pool. Alright, so what I just made was step away. Okay, you know what? I want to see what's in the box. Admittedly, it'll probably just be generic loot, because that's really the only option. But maybe it'll be something else. Anyhow, I am just going to wait in Iron Guard for an hour for the dungeon to reset. Just going to pause until then. Actually, we'll put off going back to Shimmerpool Cave for a while to the end of the episode. Unless I forget, in which case you'll just have to see for yourself. Anyway, instead, we'll go to Ironguard, which is also around round the shores of Lake Ironwain. So it makes sense that we go here now. Visit Ironguard. The settlement of Ironguard. Snug on the rugged terrain that hugs the northwest corner of Lake Ironwain, was built over the ruins of the town of Ward Hollow, which was destroyed in a goblin raid nearly 400 years ago. Rising out of the depths of the lake, a mile out of the cove around which the edge of the island stands, is the grim spectre of Thorn Island. Now, since they've drawn attention to that, there's a good chance we'll go. Actually, I know we go there, because obviously I've done all this before about 7 times. Well, not all of it, but probably this bit, not so often, more like 3 times, maybe.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
4, 5. Thorn Island. Thorn Isle. Rising out of the deep, frigid waters of Lake Ironwide's northwest corner, the small island known as Thorn Island, Thorn Isle, has long been the centre of many local legends. The island earned its name due to the thorny vines that cover much of its hilly, thickly forested terrain. An abandoned tower stands in the midst of the tangled patch of forest that covers the isle. Local legends tell of a light that can be seen now and again coming from the top of the tower. Many believe a magical beacon still burns somewhere atop the structure. Huh? Well, that makes sense. While many of the thought believe that Thorn Island is a red remnant of a legendary island that is said to have sunk beneath the icy waters of the lake long ago, there were just as many eager to dispel the notion, I guess. Maybe we'll find out? The closest settlement to Thorn Island Isle is the town of Irongard, which is spread along the edge of the cove on the northwest shoulder of Lake Ironwide. Thorn Isle is approximately a mile beyond mouth of the cove, although plainly visible from Irongard. The people of Irongard, and those of the lake region in general, believe that Thorn Isle is a dangerous, cursed place. A handful of adventurers have over the years ventured onto the island, although no detailed accounts of their explorations remain. Okay, when I do it, well, this will be the detailed account. You're getting it right now. Of course, they'll probably have course to be accessed by the people of Swift. Someone's going to have to transcribe it, because I don't think they have podcasts in Tysa. Maybe they have something very much like it in the Tower of Ashspear, which is all the magic, but definitely not in Tysa. Anyway, I'm going to visit the Elder's Eye Tavern. The Elder's Eye Tavern is much of what you'd expect to find in a place like Irongard. An old, dilapidated wooden structure that leans precariously to the right. The tavern's interior,
hardly an improvement over his exterior, is nevertheless filled with the smell of wood smoke, the din of merriment, and a permeating warmth that effortlessly rids you of the pervasive chill brought upon the wind sweeping off the lake. All right, so I can buy an ale and something to eat, and I can speak with the tavern keeper. Okay, I'm going to buy an ale first. 1 gold spent. So cheap. A single gold token fetches you a frothing tankard of the tavern's best and most bitter ale, and a bowl filled with a rather interesting stew, comprised of several different specimens of wild game. The simple but warming meal does wonders to drive away the nagging chill that has plagued you since you first set foot on Ironguard.
Now to speak with the tavern keeper.
The tavern keeper, a seemingly joyous, grey man named Dobble, nods as you approach and begin to engage him in conversation. Dobble seems reluctant to speak to you, as there is only very little about any news that has recently come to his attention. After a short and cheerless conversation with him, you politely excuse yourself and step away. Alright, okay, he's not up for this part of it. Fair enough. I mean, he's paid to run a tavern, not have conversations with random people. Admittedly, there was a bit of an overlap between the two, but it's not 100% necessary. And apparently, he's not talking to random people. He's still got people coming in, so... Alright, it's working for him. Fair enough. Alright, leaving the tavern. Okay, now I can explore Ironguard. I happen to know, because I tried this out just before this episode starts, that something will turn up. Oh, something's went ping. You're exploring Ironguard, a small settlement on the northwest corner of Lake Ironwing. Explore now. Suddenly, while exploring the town, you become aware of an old man, always standing at a distance, taking great interest in your movements. On several occasions, you attempt to approach the white-bearded man, only to have him slip away before you meet him. Okay, explore some more. Explore far and wide throughout the town and the surrounding area, but discover nothing of any particular interest or importance. Yeah, that's the nothing message. There it is again. Suddenly, as you round the corner of a well-kept warehouse on the outskirts of town, you nearly run into a coach rolling onto Ironguard's main thoroughfare. Two horses drawing the shuttered stage snort loudly as the heavy wagon turns into the lane. The driver, a young man clad in a thick grey cloak, turns to you as the coach passes by. The sudden sound of footfalls behind causes you to instinctively turn in an effort to determine who is approaching. Much to your surprise and alarm, there is no one there. Unnerved by the strange effect, you turn to look upon the coach, only to find there is no longer any sign of it. As if the rolling coach, its horses, and its grey-cloaked driver have vanished into thin air. Shaken by the eerie encounter, you quickly set off on your way. So, ghosts or illusion? Maybe we'll never know. Explore some more. Suddenly, while making your way through the northern end of Ironguard's main thoroughfare, you suddenly find yourself confronted by an angry, cudgel-wielding brute of a man. Obviously, since Sir Crokington has 386 millimeter, this is not a physical. This is not a threat in a physical sense. But it could be a threat, and that it might make me do something I regret. The barrel-chested, balding man strides up to you, begins accusing you of stealing his gold. I mean, there is a chance. I have taken a lot of chests that were just randomly around in the wilderness. Maybe it was yours, but okay, where? Then, without warning, he takes a swipe at you, coming his club going down within an inch of Sir Croakington's head. Okay, so I have two options. Three options. Attempt to reason with the enraged man, attempt to subdue the angry man, or just get away from here. I mean, I could always just leave the town. But I think there's still stuff to do here, so I probably don't want to. Okay, I'm going to try reasoning with him first, because it just seems like a more heroic way to deal with it. You attempt to reason with the angry, distraught man, while keeping a watch on the cudgel gripped in his wire hand, picking a number, bonus of 40. 20 from diplomacy, 10 from mind, 10 from spirit. Gotta get 75 or more, and I'll just make him angrier. Pick now! 42. Failure. Your attempt to reason with the angry man only seems to further a wedge. Oh well, I tried. Cursing at you, the cudgel-wielding man lunges forward and attacks. It's an angry man. He is both angry and a man. That is all we know right now. Begin combat. Now, he might be angry beyond reason, but I'm not, because even the concept of killing him just does not occur to Sir Croakington. You know, he's just a guy, he's got rage, he's probably not permanently evil, but anyway, we will lock him out, we can find out later. Because your only option is to subdue, which makes it harder in some ways, because you do a lot less damage, but he does the same. Alright, and he's scaled too, to 11 plus. I guess he's just so angry that he became scaled. That's impressive. Because now that means he's as powerful as a legendary hero. Because he's so angry. Subdue your enemy. You swing your club at the enemy. The cudgel-wielding man curses as he swipes at you. Okay, I'm just going to fight normal. The smasher wallops him for 16 damage. Your enemy deals you a savage blow for 12 damage. He's nearly done. He may be scaled, but his melee rating may be scaled, but his health sure isn't. His health is at a very low level. Which makes sense, because this could be a quest you could just bump into very near the start of the game. There's no pro quest, as far as I know. You subdued your foe. 6 XP, and then 64 XP to general. The cudgel-wielding man, badly battered, but still very much alive, collapses at your feet, managing to catch himself with his hands to avoid ending face first on the road. Ending up face first on the road. You're about to reach down and hold his feet, believing he will no longer desire to engage you, when he suddenly vanishes into thin air. Ooh. Oh, I've got a lot of odd stuff's happening around here. I think this town looks like it's haunted. Which, of course, makes sense. I mean, we've come across a lot of haunted towns. We come across Deepwell, had a ghost. And the Stonegate, that was very haunted. Although I admit that was the more solid undead rather than the spooky undead. Anyhow, it happens. Startled by the strange and unsettling turn of events, you quickly set off along the thoroughfare. Okay, this town is either haunted, or we have a maze that's good, really good with illusion, playing a lot of pranks. It could be either way, really. Keep exploring. This is the nothing message. The nothing message. Okay, if I can get that 10 times in a row, I'll stop. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Ooh. While exploring the town, you become aware of an old man, always standing at a distance, taking great interest in your movement. On several occasions, you attempt to approach the white-bearded man, only to have him slip away before you can reach him. Okay, let's start again. Suddenly, as you round the corner of the dilapidated building near the centre of the town, you run into a peddler hauling a rickety cart laden with all manner of goods along the lane. The raven-haired man, his gaunt face bearing an unpleasant expression, sniffs loudly but says nothing as you pass by. The sudden sound of footfalls from behind causes you to instinctively turn in an effort to determine who is approaching. Much to surprise and alarm, there is no one there. Unnerved by the strange event, you turn to look back upon the peddler, only to find there is no longer any sign of him, since the peddler and his rickety cart have vanished into thin air. Shaken by the eerie encounter, you quickly set off on your way. Yep, something spooky is happening in this town. If I can get 10 nothing messages in a row, I'll stop. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, that's 10 nothing messages in a row. If there's anything happening in Ironguard, I've probably seen it all. But okay, 3 more just to be sure. 1, 2, 3. Okay, Call of the Exploration. I'm going to save the game again. Now, is Shimmerpool Cave... Nope, Shimmerpool Cave is not reset yet. It's taking quite a while. Visit the Old Rye Tavern. Buy an ale and something to eat. Nothing happens. Speak to the tavern keeper. Nope, nothing happens. Leave the tavern. Oh, we've got a suddenly! As you turn to make your way outside, you spot an old man gazing at you from a table near the door. Your eyes meet his unsettling stare, the white-bearded man. His thick fingers wrap tightly round an empty tankard, motions for you to approach him. All right, approach away. As you draw up to the table, the old white-bearded man raises his tankard and uses the empty vessel to salute you. He gently sets the tankard down and asks you to take a seat. You might find this a bit strange, he says, his intense gaze making you uneasy. But I've been waiting here for you to drop by. Of course, I knew it was only a matter of time. The old man repeats his request for you to take a seat and introduces himself as Elbowin. After a quick glance around the room, making certain no one has taken any undue interest in the encounter, you pull out a chair and set yourself down. Seated across the table from Elbowin, you listen with growing interest as the old man tells you he is the need of the services of an expert adventurer. He tells you he requires the help of someone willing to venture onto nearby Thorn Island and to the island's only known structure, the Abandoned Tower. There he tells you on the topmost level, he wishes to retrieve the enchanted fire that continues to burn within the tower's beacon. Many believe Thorn Island, particularly its tower, to be haunted, he says, rolling his eyes. Of course, many say similar things about Ironguard. I ask you, friend, in a world where adventurers such as yourself was a routinely running up against the living dead, how can a place be called haunted? What did it even mean? If you can fetch me enough of the flame to fill my jar, a very special jar, I would certainly reward you. Curious, you ask Elbowin why it is he seeks the enchanted fire. He immediately responds to your polite inquiry with what seems to be a lie, telling you he wishes to study it and learn what she can about its many strange properties. Not particularly satisfied with the answer, but seeing no real reason to press him on it, he asks Elbrunim if he possesses the means by which he can travel out to Thorn Island. He quickly nods and reveals he has a small boat you can use to reach the island. Well, that saves time. Because there isn't really in this game the ability to swim for a very long time. Because, well, I'm sure you could do it if it came to it, but you tend not to. Of course, Sir Croakington could do it, but the game doesn't know that Sir Croakington's a toad. You carefully consider Erebor's request. The idea of venturing onto and exploring Thorn Isle holds a great deal of appeal for you. So I could agree to try and receive the enchanted flame, get to do an adventure, explore a new place, get some sort of reward. Or I could politely refuse Elbrun's quest and nothing happens. And obviously I think you want to see what happens on that island, so obviously I'm going to accept. Elbrun smiles and tells you he never doubted that you accept the task of retrieving the flame. He then says that if you're able to connect enough of the flame to fill his jar, a very special jar, he will certainly reward you. When you ask him about the jar, you're surprised to discover that he does not have it. The jar is, as far as I know, still in the possession of the last adventurer who undertook this mission, he says. Over a year ago, I dispatched a very capable man on the same errand upon which I now send you. He stepped onto the island and has never returned. Your success, of course, entirely contingent. Your success is, of course, entirely contingent upon first finding and retrieving the jar he carried. It is a magical container and the only vessel capable of holding the beacon's enchanted flame. Without the jar, there is no hope of capturing the tower's ancient fire. Elbrun describes for you the jar as a square stone container with a hinged lid. He tells you that numerous engravings adorn the jar. Now, I need not delay you any further, he says, leaning back into his chair. You will find me here, should you need to speak with me. Let me tell you how you can safely reach the isle. Elbrun tells you where to find his small boat, and he should only attempt to land on the northern end of Thorn Isle. The shores on the other side of the island are far too steep and treacherous to allow for a safe landing, he says. Having come to the realisation, the task before you is now more difficult than you originally anticipated. Particularly since you need to find the missing stone jar, you decide to set out at once for the island. Elbrun wishes you luck and tells you that should you need to consult him, you will find him here, at this very table. After rising from the chair, you bid the old man farewell, only to have your heart skip a beat. There is no longer any sign of him. You glance around the room, desperately seeking any sign of Elbrun. But there's none to be had. As if the old, white-bearded man has vanished into thin air. Despite having been unnerved by this sudden disappearance, you have no intention of allowing the strange incident to deter you from the task at hand. Turning to leave the tavern, you vow to make the journey to Thorn Isle, recover Elbrun's stone jar, and use it to capture the enchanted flame said to burn in the tower. Abandoned Tower's beacon. You now have the option to make your way to Thorn Isle, although honestly they're pretty similar, just Isle sounds more fun, when you're in Irongard. Alright, now, I'm going to put off put off actually exploring the island until it gets its own episode. Because it's definitely not the sort of thing I could knock off in 13 minutes. Which is how much we've got left until we hit an hour. And I tend to like to keep my episodes either under an hour or only a little bit over it. Because I think that's just what people would expect from a podcast. Although, admittedly, people are perfectly willing to listen to things that go on much longer than that. It's just this system I've set up. And also, if episodes are much shorter than that, I tend to... And then we do something else. Just a system. Okay. Western Taisha. Lake Kaimwang region. Singapore Cave. Okay, it's still cleared. Okay, I'm going to keep it paused for a little bit longer to wait for the code to reset. We're already at 10 p.m, so I think one more hour or so for it to clear. And then we'll just have to put it off to later. Okay, I've waited a bit longer. The dungeon still hasn't reset. I'm guessing I just gave all those water elementals a real drubbing, and it's taking them quite a while to draw themselves back together again. Especially the last one, which got really big, and thus it might take even longer to come back together, or it's just a coincidence. It's hard to tell. No one has really took the time to research these things, and it could just all be a bit random. But anyhow, that's it for this episode. In the next episode, we'll be going to Thorn Island to retrieve the sacred flame, and if I remember, we'll be seeing what's in that box in Shimmer's Pool Cave. But anyway, until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.